Over this last few weeks, I've been thinking about, and we've been looking at different words like joy, and how we can be a joyful people by being in the right place, by being in church, by giving all that we have over to God, not holding anything back, by serving, by having compassion. When we see a need, we do something about it. We can be a joyful people by giving thanks for all we have, and we can be a joyful people by praying, communicating with God. We also looked at fear, that we overcome fear as we see the big picture, remembering all that Jesus has done. We see the big picture as we join Jesus in the amazing things that he is doing, and we overcome fear as we just cry out to Jesus when fear sets in and there's nothing else we can do. This has been a tricky week for me. As I have prepared this sermon, I have realized that I'm not as good as I should be. Or maybe better to say, I'm not as good as I thought I was. In my Christian life, there have been many things which I have struggled with and worked through, and I no longer struggle with them. The Lord has worked through them. But this week, it has become clear to me that there's still a major area, there's several major areas, but a major area which I need to struggle with, and which I struggle with, which I need to defeat, and that is the area of anger. Yesterday, I was playing golf in Rosapenna, or Rosapenna, whatever it's called. And if you want to see me angry, go to the golf course. If you want to see somebody else angry, watch them playing with me. But there was one moment where I had my 7-iron, and I literally did like this here. And then I realized it's not the 7-iron's fault. It's me. I'm rubbish. You know, so I said sorry to the 7-iron, and we got on with life. But yeah, I was playing golf, and come up to the last hole, and I was hitting a really good ratio. Every two holes, I lost a ball. Every two holes, I lost a ball. 9 balls I lost in total. Last hole, I had lost only 8, and I was like, I have to lose another. So guess what? Straight into the rough. Didn't even go looking for it because I wanted my ratio. Anyway, I learned to embrace my anger and just enjoy the game. It was all good. But you know, I spend so much time looking around at the world, and I am a little bit judgmental, I suppose, and I say this is an angry place and an angry world we live in. You look at the people around us, and we can easily say they're so rude, they're selfish, self-seeking, and literally treat others like they don't matter. You want an example of that? Go for a drive, pretty much anywhere. You will see angry drivers in towns. If you go to a restaurant or a fast food place, you might see angry people not getting the order that they wanted. You might see, I should go to IKEA, and you'll see husband and wife just fighting. It's brilliant. And you see anger going crazy. Or aeroplanes where somebody's angry at a child that's crying without thinking that the child's in pain. You know, and because I'm not as bad as so many people, I think, you know, I'm okay. But I'm not. Don't get me wrong, I am not actually a crazy little person. You know, like that. We remember the Tasmanian devil in the Looney Tunes? You know, I'm not that guy. But I still can feel the pull of anger in my life. And as I think about it, looking back at the big picture of my life, I can see relationships which are not as they should be because of anger. I can see areas where I can see joys and blessings which I have missed out on because of anger. Are you angry? Do you struggle with anger? You don't have to put your hands up. It's okay. When was the last time you were angry? Think about it in your head. When was the last time you really lost it? The book of Proverbs has some great sayings about anger. And do you see yourself in any of these? A quick-tempered person does foolish things. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. A hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. Stone is heavy and sand a burden, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? An angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. I love the language of Proverbs. As churning cream produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. Proverbs is awesome. We need to be very, very aware of the dangers of anger in our life and also the damage it can do to our Christian walk and to our Christian witness. If we struggle with anger, and I think we all do if we're totally honest with ourselves, then we need to see that possibly we think too much of ourselves. We tend to become angry when we feel slighted or when something goes as we see it, not the way we want or against us. I even felt it this morning as I was driving back here from Donegal, and I drove onto a road. I thought, it's a big, long, straight bit of road, and boom, slow driver. And because they were not going at the speed I wanted them to go, I got cross with them. I even started to think unnice thoughts about them in my head. And my anger started a negative thought process, which wasn't full of love. But I quickly realized that I have to get over myself. I still got here. Yeah, it took 10 minutes longer, but that's okay. I saw it as a teacher. You all know I was a teacher in Slemish College and in Laren High before that. When kids wouldn't do what I was asking them to do, or doing something I was showing them, I would get angry because they weren't doing it what I wanted them to do. And to my shame, I made someone cry once, a girl. And this is how twisted anger is. For a wee while, I felt good about it. I felt, that serves them right. One-upmanship is nasty. Anger is dangerous. I see it with Abigail. I try to show her something, and she refuses to do it my way. So I get angry. Then she gets angry because I'm not doing it her way. And it's a whole crazy spiral until I take the time to understand that she's 4. And then I get over myself. I genuinely believe that we struggle with anger because we do think too highly of ourselves and not highly enough of others. And this can, as I say, damage our Christian walk and our Christian witness as we interact with the world. We need to be very aware of the dangers of anger. We need to be self-aware to overcome anger. In Genesis alone, we see how anger arises out of rejection. Look at Cain and Abel. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." We feel rejected, not good enough, so we can get angry. Cain didn't see his fault here. If he did what was right, it would have been accepted. Sadly, he allowed anger to rule over him, to stop him from doing what is right. Can this happen to us in our anger? Our anger with God, or our anger with others, that it stops us from doing the right thing. We let it rule over us. Sin is crouching there and it wants to have us, and we let it rule over us so we don't do the right thing. We think too much of ourselves and not enough of others. We also see how anger arises out of a grudge. Look at Esau and Jacob. Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Esau held a grudge, and it fed his anger. He thought so little of his brother that he wanted to, and he was prepared to kill him. Are you holding a grudge right now? If somebody has done something to you, a grudge with a family member, a work colleague, maybe a church member, a neighbor, a friend, a spouse, a child. Holding grudges feeds our anger, and it makes it more difficult to get over in the long run. The longer it goes on, the harder it becomes. A grudge can easily lead us to a place where we think less of other people, the people we hold that grudge against. If something bad happens to them, we might actually think, well, hey, so what? Serves them right. Again, thinking too much of ourselves and not enough of them. We see how anger arises out of jealousy, the whole story of Joseph and his brothers. It says in verse 11 of chapter 37, Genesis, his brothers were jealous of him. To be fair, in this one, you know, Joseph should have known when he was telling about the dreams and all that stuff just to when to keep quiet, but he didn't. But, you know, it's the same with us today. People like to talk about what they have, and they like to show it off, if you want. It is so easy for us to be jealous today. And this leads us to coveting other things and wanting more. And then that can actually have a negative thought pattern within us. And we ultimately then again start to think more of ourselves and not enough of others. Look what the brothers did to their brother, sold him to slavery. Anger can so easily lead to revenge, to broken relationships, broken families, broken people. All because we think more of ourselves than others. Anger is dangerous. In fact, anger is disastrous. That is why it is vital that we deal with our anger, that we get over ourselves. This will help our Christian walk and witness. In the New Testament, we read this in Ephesians, and this will help us to overcome our anger. Paul says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." We are to get rid of anger. So often when we read that, we think of the big angers, but not maybe the wee things, the wee resentments which eat away at us. We are to get rid of all anger. And we do this by being kind and compassionate. The ESV says tender-hearted, just like the Care Bear. We're to be tender-hearted to one another. I read this in a dictionary. Being kind refers first of all to God, who is kind to the ungrateful and wicked, as we read in Luke. In fact, his being kind to all people is intended to lead them to repentance, which we read of in Romans. Once we have become children of God, we continue to experience God's kindness and goodness, as we read of in 1 Peter. Then, as a result, and in imitation of our loving God, God calls us to be compassionate and kind to one another. Are we kind? Are we compassionate? Anger can stop them from happening. If you struggle with them, is anger holding you back? We are also to forgive each other. We do this because God has shown us compassion, kindness, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And forgiveness is key when it comes to getting over ourselves and it comes to anger. Jesus told the parable which we read about the unmerciful servant. I'm always challenged by this parable. The servant had so much to be forgiven. So much. He could never, ever in his entire life have repaid what he was being asked to repay to his master. But he was forgiven because he begged for forgiveness or for it to be canceled. He then went outside, and I still try to picture this. I struggle to visualize this, how you can go from having so much forgiveness to going out and starting to throttle some guy in anger. What's happening there? He wanted what was due to him. He thought more of himself than of this other guy. We have been forgiven so much, more than we can ever imagine, more than we could ever repay. We can't pay the debt. Jesus paid the debt, so that we could be forgiven. So therefore, we must be willing to forgive. But how often are we like the unmerciful servant, so easily and readily forgetting the grace, mercy, and forgiveness shown to us. And to refuse then to show grace, mercy, and forgiveness to those who owe us less. Forgiveness is key to being able to overcome anger. And as we practice kindness and compassion, it helps us generally just to be less angry, to be in the right place. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness. They all help us to see that others are more important than ourselves. Understanding and choosing to do them helps us to get over ourselves. We see this reinforced, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. As Christians, we are new. The old is gone, and anger is part of the old. The knowledge of this big picture of what our Creator has done for us, how He has desired us to be saved, and how we should desire to be like Him, should mean that we ruthlessly eliminate anger from our lives. As God looks at us, He sees all that we do. And a little thing I read as I visit, sometimes I read this Psalm, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. O Lord, God knows all of us. He knows our thoughts, our actions, our words. And yet He loved us. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us, for our unholy lives, our selfish lives, the selfish things we do, the selfish things we say. He overcame His well-deserved anger at our sin, giving us a way to know Him and the wonder of eternity. Jesus didn't put Himself before God or before us, but He made Himself nothing to serve us and to save us. So we need to be like Him and put off anger, becoming nothing and serving the world. Remember, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. The devil can use anger, stopping us from becoming the people that God wants us to be, stopping us from receiving the joy and blessings of the Lord. The devil uses anger. He uses rejection, grudges, jealousy. He uses them to destroy us and those around us, to try to stop the work of God, stopping us from serving. He will use them to damage the church. The devil wants us to think more of ourselves and less of everyone else. Anger is too important of an issue to ignore. And Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Take anger seriously. Don't let the sun go down on you while you are angry. Do we take anger that seriously, or do we let things fester? You know, Jesus told another parable about a rich fool. And it started because this guy said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He was a bit angry with his brother because of the money. And Jesus told about a certain rich man who had so many crops, he didn't know what to do with it. So he thought, right, I'll rip it all down, all the stuff I have, build new barns, and I'll fill them up, and I'll sit back, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. Life is good. But then God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? You know, life is short. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. So don't allow the selfishness of anger to destroy the quality of life you can have now. Things like, I've seen it in families, inheritances, which have destroyed families. Other things which destroy us, don't allow them to. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. But see the big picture of eternity, of that guy who should have been working for eternity, not for just now. Let's not focus on the just now, but focus on eternity and put on the new self, setting others over ourselves, getting over ourselves. Some people will say when you start to feel angry to count to 10. Some people will say 100. It's nonsense. When you start to feel angry, remember Jesus and the sacrifice he made for you. His kindness, compassion, and forgiveness to you. Jesus loves you, and he loves the person you feel anger against. So get over yourself and show kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, not anger. Becoming angry will give the devil a foothold in your life by choosing to show kindness, compassion, and forgiveness, even when it's really difficult, even when it actually hurts you. It may give Jesus a foothold in someone else's life. So when you get angry, when you get cross, think of the cross. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the victory you have won for us through the cross as you sent your Son Jesus to this earth. He became nothing. He thought of us. He died for us. And Lord, when we think in the cross, let us always remember your grace and your mercy to us, your kindness, your compassion, and your forgiveness available to us. Lord, never let us think more of ourselves than we should. Let us be quick to forgive and not to hold grudges, not to be jealous of other people, not to allow rejection to add to our anger. Lord, if we struggle with anger here, Lord God, in this time, I pray that you will help us to bring it to you now. Lord, as we think of the last time we were angry, Lord, we bring it to you, to your cross, and we ask you to deal with our anger. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us for the times when we have allowed anger to rule us, when we have sinned because of it. Lord God, this anger thing is such a big thing that you say that we will be judged because of it. Lord God, if there is any of us here, Lord God, in our hearts, just challenge us now with somebody who we need to go to ask forgiveness. Say that I am sorry that I have been angry with you. Please forgive me. If there are relationships that have been destroyed because of anger, Lord God, speak to us. Show us those relationships that need to be fixed and help us through your Holy Spirit, through your grace, mercy, and love to go and fix those relationships. Lord God, when our anger has damaged our witness, Lord God, we are sorry. Lord God, I pray that as we just think through this and as we think through our anger, Lord God, that we would just look to you. If we look to ourselves to fix it, it will not happen. It is only through your Holy Spirit that we can fix this anger thing. So, Lord God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you for the cross, Lord God. We thank you for all that you have won through the cross for us. Lord God, help us to be the people you want us to be. Challenge us and show us your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.